York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Well, yes, here we are. Man, here we are. Barely, we're here. I mean, the news is breaking as we're trying to start the program, and we've got all kinds of conflict again today. Welcome to the program on this Wednesday, the 18th day of July, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. And, well, the stink goes on about Russia and what the president said and Helsinki and the blowback. And it just is, it's not going away. And there are conflicting and confusing statements being made. It's the latest is just happening moments ago, where we got word this morning that at 11:30 Eastern time, the president was going to convene a cabinet meeting, and that the media, as they usually are with this president, was invited into the cabinet room for some part of that particular meeting. So 11:30 came, and the way it works is the television networks are invited in there. They set up their cameras. They've got their audio people there with the microphones hanging out over the table, out of the camera range. And the president does what he's going to do, and he addresses people in the room. He's talking to the cameras. He's doing all that sort of stuff. And then they are told to exit the cabinet room. And at that point, they all run down to the press center and feed the tape that they just got to their individual networks. So it's a tape playback. So at 11:30, you were thinking, okay, 11:40, 10 minutes worth. He's still talking. Where are they? 11:50? No, still. Is he still talking? Noon, 12:15, 12:30, 12:45. I forget exactly what time it had to have been. About an hour and a half later, all of a sudden, all the networks start playing the end of this press briefing in the cabinet room. Because apparently what happened was the president started his cabinet meeting and he said, hey, let's go around the table and everybody say what they're working on. Well, that you know, the Labor Department, the Commerce Department, the, you know, you name it. It was stuff that the media wasn't interested in. So the part that they played back was the last minute or so. And what you hear is the press people at the White House are yelling at the media to come on, get out of the room, go on, we're done, move out. And they're yelling about this. I mean, some woman there, man, she sounds like a drill sergeant. She's yelling at the media to get out of the room. And that's where everybody picked up. So during this cabinet meeting, there's all this confusion about what the president said. Because it was immediately reported as the tape was played back that the president appeared to say that no, Russia was no longer targeting the United States. Oh, geez, this is contradicting exactly what Dan Coats said yesterday. So here we are again with one of these moments. And so now Sarah Huckabee Sanders is at the press podium, and she is saying, no, that's not what happened. So let me play for you the first part of this. This is where we got the playback from the cabinet meeting, and in all this commotion, somebody asked the president about, is Russia still targeting the U.S.? The president, and this is harder for you to tell on radio than on television, he's looking over at all kinds of different people, and questions are being shouted at him. And, well, let's hear. You listen to how this whole thing went down. Then we'll get to Sarah Huckabee Sanders right after. Hold on. Listen to this.
Press, let's go.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Make a way out.
We're doing very well. We are doing very well, and we're doing very well, probably as well as anybody has ever done with Russia. And there's been no president ever as tough as I have been on Russia. All you have to do is look at the numbers, look at what we've done, look at sanctions, look at ambassadors not there. Look, unfortunately, at what happened in Syria recently. And I think President Putin knows that better than anybody, certainly a lot better than the media. He understands it, and he's not happy about it. And he shouldn't be happy about it, because there's never been a president as tough on Russia as I have been. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, get out. So that was it. And you could hear the commotion, and you could hear the woman shouting to the media to get out. But the question that was asked was, Mr. President, is Russia still targeting the United States? And he said no. So here is the back and forth with Sarah Huckabee Sanders saying he was answering a different question. Listen.
So despite the video that shows the president looking at Cecilia and answering no to this question about whether Russia is still targeting the U.S., and despite multiple people in the room understanding that the president was responding to that question, and despite the president having never before said the word no repeatedly to usher reporters out of the room, you're saying it's reversed. You're saying the president said, this is the
first thing that the president said after the question was asked was thank you very much, and then he said no, I'm not answering any more questions. And even further, I think even Cecilia didn't realize what the answer was because she asked for clarification and he didn't answer the follow-up. Because she wasn't sure. I talked to the president. He wasn't answering that question. He was saying no, he's not taking questions, and I've stated what our position is.
Let me get my question, sir, which I haven't actually asked yet, which is the president, now this is the second time in 3 days that the president of the White House has come out and reversed what the president has said.
Actually, I'm interpreting what the president said. I'm not reversing it.
The opposite way.
I was in the room as well, and I didn't take it the way you did.
But why should this president have any credibility to Americans in what he says if, in fact, 24 hours later, or in this case, 3 hours later, the White House comes out and says, just kidding?
First of all, that's not what I said. I was interpreting what the president's intention was and stating the administration's policy. It's not exactly what you just explained. We never said just kidding. And I think that you can take the fact that the president has credibility because he saw that he had misspoken, and he wanted to clarify that yesterday, which he did. So when he sees that he's misspoken, he comes out and he says that.
Yeah. So here we are, folks. Here we are, and depending upon how you feel about the president, how you feel about the media, how you feel about Donald Trump, the Sarah Huckabee Sanders, it is all it's chaotic. I don't know how else to say it. It was chaotic. I looked at this, and I have to tell you, I know the president was looking at the reporters when he said no. I don't know if he heard the question. I'm not trying to cover for him. I'm just looking and going, the chaos and the shouting of the questions and the shouting of the press person telling the media to get out, it was chaotic. I don't know what he was answering, but I don't think this is like yesterday where he had to sit down and put the apostrophe in his wind statement. This was, I could buy Sarah Huckabee Sanders saying, yeah, he wasn't answering that. He wasn't answering Russia is no longer a threat. But let me ask you, because I do want to delve into this, and I do want to delve into more without getting into a big argument or fight between the anti-Trumpers and the Trumpsters. But I think a lot of things, and people have called me everything, you know, I'm a Trump hater and all this sort of stuff. Nope. There are things I like about him, and there are things I don't. I've said this 1,000 times on this program. And when I like something, I'll tell you I like it. When I don't like it, I'll tell you that too. So I'm looking at this, and I find there's a part to Donald Trump that is something we're learning about him. And it has a lot more to do with his domestic policy versus his foreign policy. And his domestic policy, I'm pretty much on board with. I like what he's doing. I like the. I think we desperately need to have a border that we know who's coming and going. I like his tax bill, even though they're talking about another tax bill. I'm not sure it did as much. I've said that all along as well, that it's done as much as everybody thought it would. I like a lot of things. I like the deregulation a lot that's going on. But when he gets into foreign policy matters, there's something there, and I don't know what it is. And I tried to focus on that yesterday in the middle of the heat of the moment, that I think he likes powerful people, rich people and powerful people. And I think Putin got the best of him. Yet, as you just heard him say, it wasn't exactly true. There's been other presidents who have been much tougher. But President Trump has been much tougher than anybody really thought he would be, and much tougher than the swoon that went on in Helsinki. So his actions are he's tougher against Russia. I think he could be a lot tougher, and I think he could demonstrate it with his words, but for some reason he doesn't want to go there. So my question is a real simple one to start off the program. Is Russia a threat to the United States? Do you believe they are a threat to us? And the president was very adamant about the fact that, hey, look it, we're talking about nuclear, you know, getting rid of nukes, reducing our nukes. Well, I think Putin's playing them, and I'll tell you why as we get through the program here today. But is Russia a threat? I'll tell you my answer. Absolutely they are. More so than what Donald Trump lets on in his appearances. 855-295-6600. Find the number at TomSullivan.com.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
Follow me on Twitter, the address at Sullivan Radio. Latina Proud says, Trump is doing wonders on foreign policy. Let's see. North Korea? I'm not so sure about North Korea, Latina Proud. I hope so. I mean, he cracked a door that nobody's been able to crack, so I give him credit for that. ISIS eliminated. Mostly. They're still around, so we can't take our eyes off them. Israel? Yes. Great friend of Israel. U.S. leadership in strength. I don't know what that means. Globalist UN in check. I don't think so. So the question then becomes, is there, if you support the way that we're dealing with Russia, and separate this out, as he's having a hard time separating out, the Russia collusion investigation by Mueller, started by Peter Strzok, and the Russia trying to interfere in U.S. elections. Those are two separate issues. But I want to remind you of a president that absolutely said, no, Russia is not a threat. This was during the 2012 debate. You know where I'm going. Then President Obama mocked Mitt Romney for suggesting that Russia is the biggest threat. Cut three.
Governor Romney, I'm glad that you recognize that Al-Qaeda is a threat. Because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not Al-Qaeda. You said Russia. In the 1980s, are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back. Because, you know, the Cold War has been over for 20 years.
Yeah. So President Obama says, no, Russia is not a threat. What's the matter with you, Mitt Romney? Romney stuck to his guns and said he will be stern on Russia if we elect him. We did not.
Russia does continue to battle us in the UN time and time again. I have clear eyes on this. I'm not going to wear rose-colored glasses when it comes to Russia or Mr. Putin. And I'm certainly not going to say to him, I'll give him more flexibility after the election. After the election, he'll get more backbone.
Yeah. So President Obama said, no, Russia's not a threat. Our intelligence people say they're as big a threat as ever, and they're still continuing to try to interfere with our democracy. Donald Trump was being accused of, at this meeting, of saying, no, they're not a threat, but the White House is saying he was not answering that question. Sarah Sanders said the president was saying thank you very much and was saying no to answering questions. 855-295-6600. There's Jerry in Milwaukee. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Tom. Russia is absolutely a threat to our elections and to the integrity of our elections. Unfortunately, we have a president who spent the last 2 years, even as a candidate, not caring about it. He doesn't care. I don't know if Donald Trump would care as long as the Russia hacking, continued hacking in the future, helped him politically. I don't think Donald Trump would still care. The only reason he says anything now is because the vast majority of Americans are opposed to Russia interference in our election. That's the only reason we see any response. We don't have a president who cares about the integrity of our elections, and his White House has to keep contradicting and correcting him. In the past couple of days, how many times do they have to correct him?
Well, I know.
They know his response.
I know. There's a deeper issue, though, and you heard, you remember the quote from President Obama. Not only the I'll have more flexibility, you know, after the election, but the doozy with Mitt Romney, where he says, it's not, you know, the 80s are calling back for the foreign policy. So Obama got it wrong and did not really understand the threat that Russia is. And I mean, the election part is something they've done forever. But I am concerned about the fact that what Putin is doing is he is working his magic to try and get it so that we reduce our nuclear arms and he builds his up. Russia is building their nuclear arms when we have treaties that say they're not supposed to. He doesn't care about the treaties, but I think he's trying to talk Donald Trump into what he has tried to talk other presidents on, is reducing our nuclear capability so that he will have the upper hand. I really think that's where he's going. I think that's what this is all about.
That's probably part of it. Probably it's reducing sanctions. But, Tom, it's very easy to manipulate Donald Trump. All you have to do is praise him. As long as you praise Donald Trump is putty in your hands. We see this in North Korea. We see this in Russia. We see this in other places. For such a master negotiator, all you do is have to praise him like a child. And you do basically whatever you want.
That was my theory. That's why he was so soft on Putin. Putin probably told him he was praising him. Jerry, thanks.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. And so this whole business about Russia and the president and all the performance in Helsinki and all that. There's an op-ed by the editorial board at the Wall Street Journal. Yes, the op-ed side. That's the conservative side of the newspaper. And what they are pointing out, they said it was good that President Trump, who rarely admits mistakes, did so yesterday in his reversal of his claim on Monday that Russia may not have interfered in the election. So that was all reversed. And so we move on from there, whether you believe that or not, it was scripted. But they're pointing out that less encouraging, besides all that business about the election and everything else, is that President Trump's continued enthusiasm for working with Vladimir Putin on issues like arms control. The Wall Street Journal editorial board says, our nuclear weapons in particular, Mr. Trump is a neophyte compared with the Russians who want to rewrite the history to lure our president into further reducing our nuclear arsenal. President Trump told reporters, nuclear weapons are the greatest threat of our world today. Russia's a great nuke power. We're a great nuke power. We have to do something about nuclear. So that was a matter that we discussed actually in great detail. And President Putin agrees with me. The Journal says, uh-oh, because in an interview with Chris Wallace, Vladimir Putin lamented America's unilateral withdrawal from a 1972 anti-ballistic missile treaty. So we didn't want the United States to withdraw from that treaty, but they did despite our request not to do it. That is just a flat lie on the part of Putin. At the same time that he's saying that we withdrew and they didn't want us to, it was a pact that the Soviets repeatedly violated. And finally, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Republican and Democrat presidents kept the treaty in place, even though it was with the Soviets and the country was gone. But eventually, George Bush did withdraw from the ABM treaty in 2002, explaining that the Cold War had ended and Russia was no longer an enemy, and the treaty hindered the U.S. ability to develop ways to protect from future terrorist attacks. So President Bush, he says, nope, no longer a threat, no longer an enemy. Remember, he looked into Putin's eyes, saw his soul. The Cold War had ended. We don't need those things anymore. And then Barack Obama comes along and says to Mitt Romney, they're not a threat. The 80s are calling for your foreign policy. So the Journal's editorial board goes on and says, Monday, Vladimir said Russia's development of new offensive weaponry, new intercontinental ballistic missiles, was born as a response to the unilateral withdrawal of the United States from this treaty. Again, a flat lie. Putin also accused Russia's violations of the 87 treaty as implementation problems. The Pentagon believes these new nuclear cruise missiles that Russia has deployed in Europe violates all kinds of treaties. President Trump did not call him on it. So what they're saying is Putin wants to draw Trump into an arms control negotiation that would reduce our nuclear arms and let him go right back to what he was doing before, violating the treaty up one side and down the other, and making Russia stronger, more powerful than the United States. That's what Putin is up to, according to the Journal. 855-295-6600. Richard, thank you for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Oh, good afternoon. Russia is a threat. So is China. So there are a lot of players, and we always have to be vigilant about who we're dealing with. China has been caught actually stealing stuff from us.
Right.
The Russians probably have. But the real problem we have here is the quote-unquote deep state or the intelligence community. Who can trust them? Every week we see three of them get in front of Congress and lie about what they've done and what they plan to do.
Let's talk about this deep state and how they're lying. So you own a restaurant, and you find out that the people running your restaurant, you're the new owner of the restaurant. You go in and you find out that the people running your restaurant are all stealing from you. So you fire them and you hire your new people to run that restaurant. And you put a big banner out in front of your restaurant under new management, because the old management was running off customers, stealing money, doing all kinds of terrible things. So I go by your new restaurant. I go, ha! Under new management, I don't believe it. I'm sure they're lying. I'm sure they're cheating. This is what's happened. Trump has hired his own management. Why is it that people believe that he has these people like Dan Coats that are lying? Why do you believe that?
Well, for one thing, we see the people in Congress, when they come in front of Congress, they lie. You can go back and actually see videos of them making two different statements.
Tell me who you're talking about.
McCain. I mean, the guy that just got kicked out of the
You don't even know his name. You don't even know his name. Andy McCabe.
Well, it's McCabe.
Andy McCabe.
It's McCabe.
McCabe.
Right.
Who did he work for?
He doesn't. He got fired.
He got fired. He was working for Jim Comey. Jim Comey got fired. He correct. Got fired.
That's correct.
So that so correct. Trump put in his own guy. So.
But that's really kind of a minor issue.
Move up to today. I appreciate yesterday there were some bad characters there. I agree with you. I think Clapper and those guys are absolutely I would love to get the goods on because I think they're corrupt. But today I think Dan Coats is about as honest as you can possibly find.
And I would agree with you. The real problem is that we don't know till it actually. Do you think Mueller is honest?
Mueller's what?
Mueller.
What about Mueller?
Mueller.
That we're not talking. We're not talking about. We're not talking about the election. We're as far as Hillary. We're not talking about collusion.
No.
We're talking about. Do you believe that the Russians are trying to upset our democracy? Yes or no?
Of course.
That's what Dan Coates says.
There's no doubt.
But you said he's lying.
No doubt about it. They've always done that.
But you just told me that they were lying. Well, which is it?
No, that's not what I said. What I did say was that the people in the intel community cannot 100% be trusted.
Okay.
I mean, they try to.
So, who do you trust? If you're the president, and they come to you every morning with the presidential daily briefing, top secret, and they give you their information about what's going on,
right?
You don't believe them. Who do you believe?
I'm not saying that I don't believe them in particular issues like this, but one has to be careful. What happened in Iraq?
I agree. You have to be careful, but I the same thing with Iraq. When you're a president and you're locked in that White House, you don't know, all you can do is rely upon your intelligence people. George Bush relied upon intelligence, and it was wrong. So maybe Russia's not a threat. Maybe we should trust them completely.
But the real question is, and you've made this statement, you should never give your allegiance and alliance to any one person, and that includes the President of the United States. And that also includes, for me, the intel community. Because we've seen that it is possible, now whether it's happening today or not, it is possible that they have an axe to grind and that they will skew the information.
Okay. All right. I mean, you can dream up all kinds of fiction. I just happen to believe the CIA.
Enjoy our discussion. You seem to be very fair. It's appreciated.
I just call them like I see them.
You're with Tom Sullivan.
So Marco Rubio chiming in on all of this business about Putin and whether or not he is he's dangerous. I think that is much more dangerous are these nukes. And what Vladimir is up to is he has his eyes on trying to take down America. He always has. And yet he smiles and pats you on the back. He's a con man. And Marco Rubio sees through it and he says Putin just wants to be seen as an equal with the United States.
The bottom line is, he doesn't care if we know, he will never admit it, but he doesn't care if we know that he interfered because it makes him feel and look powerful. It makes him feel and look like a world leader on par with a president, on par with the United States, which is his overriding goal here, is to reposition Russia as a global power on par with the United States.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who want to do that, but Putin has been losing ground in Russia because of the fact that people don't think he's as powerful as he once was. So this, the praise in the Russia, of course, it's state media, but their praise, wow, what a wonderful boy. He's right up there with the U.S. president. So Rubio goes on and says he doesn't want Trump to make the same mistakes that Obama and Bush did with Putin.
When the President Trump says there's been mistakes made by U.S. policymakers with Russia, he's right. But the mistakes that have been made is thinking that we could somehow get a better agreement, or not fully understanding who Vladimir Putin truly was. And I fear that that's the potential that we could, I don't think that's where we're headed, but we could, if we continue under this idea that if we're just nice to Vladimir Putin and if we try to get along with him personally, that somehow everything else will work out. Bottom line is, he is not interested in a win-win relationship with the U.S. Vladimir Putin believes that the only way to make Russia stronger is to make America weaker. And as long as he believes that, and as long as that's the way he operates, it's almost impossible to have better relations. We have to have relations, and we have to be able to talk, because there are other issues. He has nuclear weapons. As the president rightfully points out, 90% of nuclear weapons are controlled by the U.S. and Russia. So we have to talk to him. But we should do so with a very clear understanding of what motivates him, of who he is, what he's done in the past, and what he's going to do in the future. And I think both the Bush and the Obama administration thought they could reset things with Putin. And I just don't want this administration to make the same mistake.
Yeah. George W. Bush did the same exact thing I told you. He said, nope, the Cold War is over. Cold War is over. There's no need to have all these nukes pointed towards Russia. And President Obama, it loud and clear in the 2012 campaign, Russia's not the threat. It's Al-Qaeda. So I agree with Marco Rubio a lot, but I think there's one other part what he said I think is exactly how we should look at Vladimir Putin. He is, it's black or white. It's a zero-sum game with him. You win, I lose. I win, you lose. That's how he looks at it. He doesn't see the pie growing. He doesn't see prosperity for Russia at the same time that America is prosperous. He doesn't see any of that. It's he has to defeat us for Russia to do better. He has to chip away at the United States for Russia to grow. That's how he sees things. He wins, we lose. That's all he can focus on. 855-295-6600. There's Dee in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Hello, Dee.
Hi, hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just listened to Bill's response, and I kind of liked what he had to say, but I also like what Rand Paul had to say about it's best to keep the conversations going, but, you know, keep your eye on the enemy, so to speak. But I also fear China more right now than I do Russia, because of what's going on in the South Seas and all that with the islands and what they're planning to do with the,
yes.
And
the, yep.
You know, stealing stuff from us and all that kind of stuff. And we are that stupid to put up with it. I kind of hope that this little bit of a fiasco way he handled Putin, we don't know what happened behind closed doors either. So let's not forget that.
No, I know. But a lot of people say that. But Dee, I think our president's language should mirror what goes on behind closed doors. He doesn't have to come out and tell us all the secrets and everything else, but it should be similar, should be coordinated. I am concerned that Donald Trump, who, if you praise him, And do the slap on the back. Let's be clubmates and everything else. We'll all belong to the powerful club here. And I'm a powerful guy. That Donald Trump will fall prey to that kind of person, as George W. Bush and Barack Obama did. And I'm just going, I think Trump's a tough guy. I want him to be tougher. I don't see it.
I just want to say that I agree with that. I do think to a point that I think he's like the new kid on the block that wants to be liked by everybody. But I hope he doesn't lose his backbone tough guy from the Queens where he grew up. That's what I like about him. But at the same time, you know, it's really hard to see where he's going with this, because one day he does one thing, one day the next day he does another.
I know.
Feeling this way, I don't like the people that are advising him. And I just got one more quick comment to make.
Sure.
I, you know, people seem to forget JFK. You talk about almost getting us into World War III. What the hell was that all about?
Yep.
And
yep.
for
yep.
Gary, I've got to say this. I hope to God I never meet Jerry because I'd smack him.
Well, you're not far away. You could drive over to Wisconsin and have lunch with Jerry. I don't know. See, you'll get along great. You'll come out. You'll be buddies. I just the collegial part of it. I understand that you can't make enemies out of these people, but I just hope that these things regarding he is, and I don't blame him. He's getting beaten up every day about collusion. And that's where his focus is. It's about him. I think I'm guilty of probably the same thing. If somebody's attacking me, I'm focused on that attack about me. But this is about a bigger thing than him. This is about Russia attacking our country. And I'm afraid that our presidents have gone up against Vladimir Putin, and Putin seems to get the best of him. He just does, which he's good. He's been around. All right. Dee, thank you. I do appreciate the call. And I'll go back to, was it Latina Proud that was talking about all the things that President Trump has done? And he has. He's thrown out some Russian ambassadors. I don't know if he's increased sanctions. Congress said increased sanctions. We don't know if that's actually happened. He talks softly and carries a big stick. Is that the Teddy Roosevelt method? I'd rather have the guy with the big stick and rather than have somebody who talks tough and doesn't back it up. So this all could be good because the president's got to be looking in the mirror and wondering about his thoughts on Russia.